Okay, recording.
Welcome to another edition of Facts Are Meaningless. I like to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. This is a program brought to you by me and him. You.
You mean we don't have a sponsor?
No. Man, to have a sponsorship, would that not be the greatest thing in the world, to make money from our ramblings? Just to, like, you know, to for the fact that we record what is essentially our almost daily conversations anyway and get paid for it? That is the dream, my friend.
I thought that this show was brought to you by Thompson's Tuffets.
I don't know what that is. That's horrible. It sounds horrible.
I just made it up.
Oh, okay.
You know, with Little Miss Muffet sat on.
Oh.
Tuffets, they're not big anymore, but they're coming back.
What the fuck is a Tuffet? You're right. I have no idea what that is. Now that you've – there's so much about old rhymey – what do you call those things? Not fairy tales.
Nursery rhymes?
Nursery rhymes. Thank you. Little Miss Muffet sat on a Tuffet.
Yeah. You don't know anything about that. You better get on that. That's valuable data.
I'm sure Wikipedia can walk me through it later.
That's totally relevant to today's world.
I'm sure. You know what, dude? If I had a Tuffet, maybe I wouldn't have to sit on this donut.
Huh?
Well, it's not really a donut. I have this cool – look. Here, take a picture of this. I'll post it on the thing. It's a chair pad.
Dude, it looks like a toilet seat. Or let's see, what else does it look like? It looks like a tooth.
It's a gigantic black tooth for sitting on. But it's good for my spine.
I dub thee Lord Blacktooth. Actually, I should get one of those because my spine is hurting.
It's cheap at Bed Bath & Beyond. Now there, Bed Bath & Beyond, please send us money.
Bed Bath & Beyond. I was just in there like a week and a half ago, and the power had gone out. It had been out for like an hour and a half, and they were still open.
Wow.
They were taking – like you had to get escorted by an employee with a flashlight around the store. Like they wouldn't leave you alone because I guess they felt you were going to like steal under the cover of darkness.
How were they taking payment? Credit card running through the machine?
You know, I don't remember.
Because, you know, eventually those things are not going to work. I've heard that the credit card company is going to start issuing cards without raised numbers, and then those things will be obsolete.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I didn't do the purchase. I was actually waiting outside after she got what she was looking for. But I think they just copied the stuff down on a form and then, like, put it through later.
Yeah, see, that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to write it down. Or, you know what they'll do? They'll all get Square things for their iPhones, and they'll just take payment that way.
Oh yeah, that actually would have been that would have made sense if they had that type of thing.
Yeah, totally.
They run on battery, so.
Yep, and as long as the Wi-Fi is not out, it should work.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to transmit it for approval, but they could just cash it, and then you know, no different than what they were doing with paper and pencils.
Exactly. Wow. See, we went right into technology there. That's what we're all about, folks. We just can segue from topic to topic without any rhyme or reason.
That's right.
And I even worked rhyme back in there. Nursery rhyme reason.
You are a lyrical gangster.
Yeah, something. Tell me what is pissing you off, my friend. I need to know.
Have you ever had a moment when, like, there's a song – I got to stop saying like. Have you ever had a moment when there's a song that you like? It's okay that I said it there. Because it's appropriate. But they use it in a commercial, and then you feel like, I did it again. And well, then you feel that the
you feel
art
as if
somehow the that thing you love, that song, has been tainted.
Now, by the way, when you just use like in that sentence, that was using it as a simile. That was fine.
Oh, okay.
You were not sticking in excessive like.
See, I'm
there.
Overdoing it.
You know? Eh? Eh? Like
eh?
I do a lot of you knows. When you edit together a podcast, after a while, you start to hear your own verbal tics. And really, that's, I think, what makes people hate their sound of their own voice is, well, number one, the sound of their own voice.
I mean, I was going to say, I hate the sound of my voice, irrespective of the content.
And as do I. So
see, but you sound to me just as you always do. Isn't there something about like you don't hear yourself, like when you're hearing yourself speak, the timbre of the sound is changed by like going through your bones or something. I remember reading something about that because apparently like you always hear yourself differently than others hear you. I got to look up the details, but
I'm sure that there is something scientifically true to that. And if it's not scientifically, you know, something about the audio, it's psychologically got to be there.
I'm sure that's part of it.
That's the huge part. Yeah, when you hear yourself recorded later, then it's just every possible horrible thing about it. Like, see, right. I never hear the ums and ahs and likes and so forth that you're saying when we're having a normal conversation. But when I edit together the podcast occasionally, I will hear some of that. And sometimes I even try to edit it out to make us sound smarter. That's right, America. I don't really sound this like this good, you know? Eh? So, now I'm just trying to feed them in, and they don't even sound natural when I'm trying to do the extra ones.
To really sound smarter, we need to practice our Henry Kissinger impressions.
Henry, my name is Henry.
That was horrible.
You think he sounds smart? Really?
Huh?
Why would you go to Kissinger?
Well, no. See, but this is the thing. Nobody can understand a damn thing he says. So that's why it's just an assumption that whatever he's saying has got to be brilliant.
Okay, I can buy that. I can buy that.
Yeah.
Now, see, if I was going to go with smart, I would go with either Walter Cronkite or anybody with an English accent.
I was just about to say, freshen your drink, governor.
Hello, hello, what's all this then? Don't I sound the smartest?
No, yeah, I don't think that worked at all.
That never gets old.
Okay, let's go back to the topic at hand, which is music used in commercials goes from favorite to hated.
Well, actually, you know what? In retrospect, that's a poor metaphor or analogy for what I'm trying to
say. I thought that's what you were really mad about.
No, I'll cut to the chase. Okay. So you're familiar with Wonderful Pistachios?
No, I am not.
Really? I keep forgetting. You don't watch commercials.
I don't watch commercials, number one. I don't eat pistachios.
I don't eat them either, but if
you know what I know about pistachios? All right. I know one thing about pistachios, that they made a great joke in the first Naked Gun movie.
I don't even remember that.
It's where he's like sitting there with his partner, probably O.J. Simpson. They're eating pistachios. Their whole face and mouth gets red, and when they go to open the door of the car, there's a pile of pistachio shells all the way up to the doorknob that they have to push open like a snowbank.
Oh, I do remember that, yes.
It's a riot.
All right. Well, see, now I keep forgetting that you don't watch commercials, but anybody else in this country that watches TV, and I'm sure all three listeners of this podcast are familiar with the Wonderful Pistachios television commercials,
here's the other thing. In my entire life, I've never seen a commercial for a fucking pistachio, so this might be a Florida-only thing.
No.
It might be.
Really?
It might be.
No, that's not possible.
It might
be. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
And I'll tell you why.
Please tell me why.
I mean, huh?
Tell me why.
Well, because these commercials, do you remember a few years ago when like the head-on – this is – I know you watched commercials
then. Please apply directly to the forehead.
Right. And they would show those commercials and they were really short and they would show the shit out of them.
Head-on. Apply directly to the forehead.
Right.
Head-on. Apply directly to the forehead. You know
Reboot
what?
Your head.
You know what? I never actually saw the commercial except on the Colbert Report when he made fun of it. I know. It's terrible.
Can't even have a discussion with you.
All right. No, you can't. I understand. I did grow up in America before the technological revolution that allowed.
You're not one of us anymore. You're uncabled unwired.
You know what I am? I have a Prius, so I'm smug.
Yeah, well, I envy you that. But anyway, so these commercials started about a year ago.
Okay.
And they're on all the time. Not as much now as they were a while ago, but they're like – they're on constantly, and they're these short, like 10-second, 15-second commercials that tend to be shown twice consecutively, or they're just shown like in the middle of other commercials.
Okay.
So basically, up until now, it's these commercials that they've always feature like a famous person.
Oh.
And up until now, it's almost always been like one of the dregs of pop culture. Like it was Levi Johnston. It was Snooki.
Wait, who's Levi Johnston?
That's, you know, Bristol Palin's.
Oh, that. Okay. Gotcha.
Man
whore.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So him, Snooki, Rod Blagojevich, people like that. There's a couple of others that I'm not thinking of right now. But
Blagojevich.
Yeah. The commercials have always featured these, like, you know, flavor of the month dipshits from pop culture. Okay. So I was watching, like, two nights ago, and guess who's on the commercial?
Al Pacino.
No.
Robert De Niro.
No.
Susan Sarandon.
Uh-uh.
Jennifer Aniston.
I'll give you a hint. It's not a real person.
Oh. Oh, shit. They got, like, some – oh, don't tell me it's a Star Wars character.
No, but you're on the right track.
It's a Star Trek character.
No.
It's a sci-fi character.
All right. I'll give you – since you're an aficionado of comics, I will give you
– It's a superhero?
No, it's not a superhero, but it is a – it is a –
Did you hear the genuine terror in my voice when the thought that it's super?
Yeah, and I wish I took a screenshot of, of your face. It is a beloved American comic. Let's see if that's enough.
Comic as in stand-up comic?
No, comic strip.
Comic strip. No,
it's been not. Around longer than you and I have, but then again, I guess most of them have been.
It's Peanuts?
Yes.
Wow.
Bingo. First guess. Excellent.
All right. Now, see, here's the thing. Peanuts has been a fucking sellout since day one. I mean,
yeah,
but Dolly Madison, you know, zingers.
Yeah, but.
So that's not exactly unprecedented.
Well, no, it's not unprecedented.
MetLife.
Right. I don't have a problem that they're selling. But if you think about it, like, compared to some other things that have gone completely kablooey with ads, Peanuts has always been relatively.
They're
you know, like,
kind of an upper echelon spokesperson. You're right. To follow Snooki, that is an abomination. I agree.
Right. And my understanding – I actually read the – no, I'm sorry. I take that back. I get confused between reading and watching TV. But
I'll explain it. One of them involves words that you interpret with your eyes and your brain.
Wait, did I read it?
The other one has moving pictures.
Okay. Wait, hang on.
I want that to be the focus
of this
entire conversation accessing. Right now, that you don't know the difference between reading and TV.
No, I do. I just can't remember. Hi, Stella. I just don't remember whether. No, here it is. Okay, here it is. I stand corrected.
You read it on the TV. That's why you were confused.
I read the biography of Charles Schulz. And I listened to it.
Schulz.
Okay, so that's still like reading, right? That still counts as reading.
An audiobook.
Correct, on Audible.
I will count that as true, yes. I want to read that biography, actually. That's what's it called?
I'm looking it up. Here it is somewhere.
I've seen the book and it looks really good. I mean,
it's done by Schulz and Peanuts by David Michaelis.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so I read this or listened to this audiobook unabridged, I might add, and it was like 7 or 8 hours long. But anyway, in there it explained one of the things it talked about is how over the years, I mean, because gosh, Peanuts like. Dated from, I believe, the 50s, and it got really popular in the 60s. So he had all these schmucks coming to him for, you know, endorse this, endorse that. And he was basically like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to do it. And so he turned away, oh, gosh, I mean, countless of these types of things. And he's a rich man, but he could have been, you know, cashed in by entertaining all this nonsense. And he said no. And I guess he died, what, 4 or 5 years ago now?
Oh, no longer than that. He died sometime, I want to say 2001.
It was in the aughts.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. So anyway, but and I just – when I saw that, I was like, oh, really? Because I can't imagine that he would have allowed that. And I'm assuming that his family had to approve it. Although, you know how like when some type of licensed character is used on TV and there's always that – you know, it'll say like copyright. There'll be like some words in the corner of the screen. There was nothing like that here. So I'm even wondering if they're using it without permission. I mean, I can't imagine that they would be so idiotic or audacious, but I didn't see anything that indicates like, you know, used with permission or licensed or what, anything like that.
Well, here's the thing that Sparky Schultz, that was his nickname, was definitely rich off Peanuts and definitely had a lot of control over it because it was so popular. But as a syndicated comic strip that he sold in the 1950s, back when there was no such thing as creator owning.
Yeah.
United Feature Syndicate can do whatever the fuck they want with Peanuts forever. They pretty
really?
Much own it. Yeah.
So then why didn't they shill it out to everybody that wanted it? Because,
well, probably for the very reason that is upsetting you, is because Peanuts is still as beloved as, you know, a comic strip will ever be. Next to Calvin and Hobbes, really, there is nothing that comes even close to being
Bloom County?
Maybe Bloom County, but even Bloom County's been off the radar for so long. And
that's
yet,
true.
And Calvin and Burke Breathed, the guy who did Bloom County, comes back every once in a while and tries to, you know, bring Opus back or do cartoons or do a coloring book or whatever. So it doesn't quite die, and it always kind of just feels like it's shitting on the memory of Bloom County. And Bloom County doesn't stand up as well because it was so politically charged to an extent. I mean, it's not Doonesbury, but, you know, it still had its real life stuff. Whereas Calvin and Hobbes was like pure imagination and joy. And when Bill Watterson gave it up, he gave it up big. He walked away and never came back. And he's what's his face? Holden Caulfield, that guy. Who am I thinking of? I can't remember his name.
Catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye guy. You know, J.D. Salinger. He's the J.D. Salinger of comics.
Right.
You know, whereas Sparky Schultz was a guy who was just like fucking – he was like the Jack Kirby. He would just work and work and work until he, you know, he supported himself and his wife and his family, and he made a lot of money. But ultimately, he was literally drawing Peanuts by hand until I think the day he died.
Right.
And you could tell his hand was not that good. He went from 4 panels down to 3 in the last few years because he couldn't draw as much. The lines were shaky. I mean, but he had the control because – people loved him just for exactly like that reason. I heard another really cool story about him. Actually, I read it. I didn't see it on the TV, and I didn't read it on the TV. I read it on the internet, which also is a screen like a TV, which is why you might be confused by reading and
television. I also watched a documentary on him on American Masters. That's why I got confused. But then I was like, I had all this information that I remember, and I'm like, I didn't get that from a 2-hour documentary, you know, so that's what I remembered the book.
I'm impressed that you've read a biography of Sparky Schultz. That's amazing to me. Good for you. Anyway, here's the other story I read. There's a great series of articles right now on the Onion AV Club, which is an interview with Dan Harmon, the guy who is the creator and showrunner of Community.
Love that show.
And it is all, you know, him reading or talking about all the episodes of the second season of Community. Every single episode, like, this must be like a 10,000-word interview article.
Really?
And it's great. And he starts talking about the excellent Xmas episode that they did, where they actually did it with stop motion, like, to be a takeoff of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Rankin-Bass animation. And he had to do it in a special way because they had to have a script locked down so the animators could work on it while they were still working on other scripts for episodes that came before it. So, it was very hard to do, it was hard to get approval, blah, 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 and he was all upset by it and ready to give it up, and, you know, nobody wanted to do it, and his wife reminded – and there was network problems and stuff, and his wife reminded him that back in the 1960s, CBS kept coming to Charles Schulz and the guy who did the specials, who I think was named Ed Melendez, and they would say – oh, you can't – no, you got to have an uplifting thing here. And, you know, you can't have this tree that looks like it's going to die. You can't have a depressed Charlie Brown. You can't have this. You can't have that. And they just stuck to their guns and said, we're doing it this way. And if you don't like it, you run it once and it'll just go in a can and it'll never be seen again. And it has made CBS trillions and trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know,
I watch it every year.
Exactly. It is.
I've yet to buy it on DVD, but I TiVo it and watch it every year.
I mean, it's one of those amazing miracle things that, you know, because a creator stuck to his guns and did exactly what he wanted to do, he made something that has gone beyond just being pop culture. I mean, it is a staple. That and Great Pumpkin. I mean, you can't beat them. So,
by the way, one of the things I always wondered about that, I don't know if you have any recollection, because that show was made like 3 years before we were born, but aluminum Christmas trees, were they a thing?
I will tell you right now, and that was made in 1965.
66, I believe, or 65, okay.
Debuted in 65. My grandparents had an aluminum Christmas tree when I was a child.
So was it like actually like a pointy piece of aluminum, or was it
no, it was a fake Christmas tree, uh-huh. But instead of having the green fake needles, it had like silver, it was like the garland, except it was on a rigid branch.
Okay,
so it was a silver tree. It would take a fake Christmas tree, paint it silver, that's what you had.
Okay,
that might have actually been what it was. I mean, I might have eaten a lot of lead silver paint as a child. It might explain a lot.
I always wondered about that, because I'd never in my life ever heard of or seen an aluminum tree outside of that show. Yeah. And you know, so.
It definitely existed. I only ever saw one at my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
And that was only for a few short years as a child. And maybe they were inspired by Charles Schulz. I don't know.
Yeah, or did they were probably – I would like to see if – Has Mad Men done a Christmas episode yet?
If they do,
then they should haul out an aluminum tree if they were big in the 60s.
That would be awesome, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you now, every time – I'm going to get a silver tree this year, and I'm going to put a big bag of pistachios underneath.
Anyway, so that really kind of – I found that depressing that Peanuts was shilling – and I wouldn't even care. Like, I'm not a big pistachio guy. I have nothing against the company other than the fact that they use these dipshits,
yes,
you know, to get publicity. And anyway,
I hear you. All right.
Do you think Bill Watterson is like enjoys the legacy of Calvin pissing on everything?
Oh no, I know for a fact he does not. I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he is very upset about it, but there's nothing you can do really, because it's like, what are you going to do? Sue every individual redneck in America? I mean,
right.
You know, you'd have to track down the source of whatever Chinese company is cranking out those stickers, and good luck to that. All right, now I'm going to complain about something.
All right.
Large corporations own trademarks on their products, obviously. They need to do that. They can't just have people willy-nilly, you know, making products called iPods or something like that.
I believe willy-nilly is somebody's registered trademark, so you better rethink that.
I get sued. But here's the problem. When a large corporation can then come down on people who have bought their products and then are giving away those products as a prize, which is a form of advertising or marketing for said product. Said product being a product like, say, an iPod. I'm going to use that term. I'm going to copyright that.
iPod.
This product then goes on and makes the company more money in the form of selling apps or some such. What is that? I took a picture. Okay. So here's the problem. Like, I have been working on a project where my company was, you know, giving away an iPad as an enticement to get people to take a survey. And then Apple comes out and says, we're going to start enforcing these laws, you know, laws, guidelines, whatever they are. They're not laws, though I'm sure Steve Jobs would act that way, that says nobody can use our products in a sweepstakes or as a prize or blah, blah, blah without our express permission. And preferably we'd like you to only use iPod touches and buy them in bulk of around 100 to 1,000. Like, what?
So that's just to exclude small fry, basically.
Yeah, it's like I guess the thought is that a company who would use their products, who would purchase their products legally and then give it away as a prize, which then basically puts Apple's name out there, somehow that's harming or infringing on them in some way. Like,
I don't understand that. I don't understand the logic.
I don't either. And I mean, how does this think of all the times you are on the radio, hear something on the radio. Hey, giving away a car, giving away a set of steak knives, giving away this, that. You know, they're not going to give away a generic car. They don't just say car. They say a Kia whatever or a right. Honda blah, 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 or a set of, you know, Cutco steak knives or I don't know. It flabbergasts me. And because it's Apple, because Steve Jobs has everybody's in the tech industry's balls in a vice, you know, nobody wants to stand up to it. So, like, at least I haven't heard that anybody is. And we cracked, like, immediately. We're not going to do anything. I mean, and I don't blame us. I mean, why would we get in the way of a relationship with Apple that lets us review their products and so forth? We're not allowed to as a tech company. I mean, can't afford to piss off Steve Jobs. We can't afford to not review his products. Now, yes, we could go down the road. You can always go down the road and say, yeah, Consumer Reports, they buy everything, blah, yeah. blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Consumer Reports is also late. I mean, they don't have stuff at the time it comes out because of that factor.
Well, that's true. Although chances are somebody at PC Mag is going to be online to buy every new Apple thing.
True. I mean, so. we could do that. But I mean, but it yeah. doesn't – as it is, we don't get the stuff from Apple to review, which we then always return. We don't get right. the stuff from them in a timely manner. Like, I think maybe once – I think maybe the first iPad last year came out. We got it, like, maybe a few days ahead of time, mm-hmm. you know. But that's the thing. It's so important to our relationship to them to be able to – get that stuff a little bit ahead of time to make it a review available, because that was a huge win for us. That was a major, major feather in our cap as far as coverage goes. And our iPad coverage is huge. We do an amazing amount of traffic whenever we write anything. In fact, I think the top story for months has been an iPad free apps collection because people
but now,
stick to it.
Well, so, I don't want to dig. I digress, but okay, yeah.
No, feel free. Digress.
Well, I've heard that and I've seen that multiple times. Like anything that references the iPad is like, you know, gold as far as eyeballs
yeah.
and traffic and stuff.
It really is. And
but I don't get it because most people don't have an iPad. And so why – and even if you wanted an iPad, and as somebody who just purchased one, I can say this with, you know, with personal experience – you can't get your hands on one unless you happen to be lucky enough to, you know, pass by an Apple store or a retail location that happened to have gotten a shipment in early in the morning, or you're willing to wait like 3 weeks to buy it from Apple's website. You haven't; those things have not been available on demand since they were launched.
Yeah, but
so where's this huge, you know, group of people that have iPads and are buying iPads and are driving the traffic? Like, I don't understand.
Well, there's still enough people just like me who have the first iPad, you know? I mean, iPad 2 is delayed and, you know, God knows, shakeups.
How many people have those things? I mean, compared to smartphones in general, I mean, what I don't understand is why a specific product commands, you know, that, let's face it, like, even take the first iPad and put that in the mix. Most people don't have one. Vast majority of people don't have one. Never will buy one. So, you know, as opposed to something generic like smartphones, where a reasonable percentage of people could be expected to have it, if not a particular model, then like, you know, Android or iPhone or BlackBerry or whatever. I don't understand why that's such a you know,
it's big enough. I think it's
aspirational. I think people, you know, they don't have an iPad and maybe they just like reading about that because it helps them. I don't know. Maybe they think, oh, I'll read about it and that'll rationalize me buying one or something.
That is possible. I just did a quick lookup and Wikipedia has a thing here that says during 2010, this is not even counting this year, Apple sold 14.8 million iPads.
14.8 million in this country?
worldwide. That represents 75% of the tablet PC sales for the end of that year. I mean, I would have thought it was closer to 99% of tablet sales.
Tablet PC sales were infinitesimal, though. So, but, you know, 14 million in the world,
You're right, but tablets are, I mean, it's certainly nothing close to the number of laptops out there, or even MacBooks, probably. But it, you know, I mean, all it takes, you know, it doesn't take a lot for a story online to become huge. You know, I mean, a few hundred thousand people looking at it in a week is going to be good enough for most online venues. I mean, because it's all, that's still better than people saw advertisements in a print magazine back in the day.
That's true.
But it's just so frustrating to be such a supporter of this thing, to own one, to be a supporter of that company, despite the fact that they're so closed and closed-minded sometimes, and to have that, you know, get thrown back in your face and be like, no, 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 we don't want your free marketing and your advertising. You know, we don't want you to spend money on our product. So screw them. We're giving away a camera from another manufacturer.
There's no logical reason
none
that they should have a problem with that. I mean, what do they care?
You know what it is? They're not. It's lawyers. Lawyers and copyright, you know, rules.
Copyright what?
Not copyright, trademark. You know, so they want just to have such a tight grip control of everything about their product. And I mean,
but what's there to control? I mean, it's not like you're modifying the product or characterizing it, or I mean, it's an iPad. Everybody knows what an iPad is.
No, I think what it is that they want, if we're going to do this, they want it to go through them. That's how they operate.
That's insane.
I know. They want you to venues like my magazine to come to their PR and say, hey, we want to give away iPads, you know, and they want to be able to read all the copy. They want to be able to vet it, they, you know, et cetera. It's crazy.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it wouldn't even reflect on their product. So what difference does it make? And as if they were going to – see, that's just asinine, counterproductive logic, because they couldn't possibly – first of all, they have no interest in actually being that type of a clearinghouse, because – They're not in a position to be able to approve or deny that stuff. If they took requests, they would never respond to anybody other than the very, very top tier.
Yep.
You know, of like you said, of ones that were going to give away, like, you know, next to Apple, who sometimes gives them away at WWDC or things like that. Who's giving them away in that scale and that quantity that's going to get Apple's attention? But I don't get it. So you give it away, and, you know, if 1,000 podunk – I mean, the local TV station here was given one away for the longest time. Like us on Facebook, and you can win an Apple iPad.
Sure.
And so they give one away, and people show it around, and probably every one of those that gets given away in that type of a context – probably generates like two or three more in sales.
I would think so. I know so, at least two people who bought iPads, you know, who saw mine.
Perfect example. Right. Perfect example. Like, I mean, I never actually got to lay hands on yours, but Andrea had been jonesing for one for the longest time. And when we were up in New Jersey, you know, my sister had gotten one for Mother's Day. She didn't actually get it in the flesh then, but, you know, she was told that it was coming. It was on order. Yep. And Ronnie had one, the first gen, like you have.
Yeah.
And she didn't even touch it or use it. Just by, like, being, you know, getting its, like,
room,
you know,
sure.
Right, getting its chi or whatever the hell came off of it. It was like, and then I was like, and I ordered it.
Yep.
You know,
and
because it was the first time I had seen one and touched one up, you know, live. So I got one for her.
And it's cool as hell.
Right.
That's what's really, and that's what's amazing. So why wouldn't I want to give one away? Purchase one. It's not like I'm giving it for free.
Right. You're not getting it at a discount. You're not getting it free. It's like there is absolutely no rationale for that other than just the height of douchebaggery.
Yes. Corporate control freakism. It really rubbed me the wrong way. When that came down, I saw that news. I was just like, oh. This
I know, but
is going to mess with my life.
See, we've talked about this before, though, in other respects about Apple. We're, you know, this is like, you know, when they say, oh, well, why are TV shows crap? You know, and it's reality. Like, why is reality TV so popular? It's like, it's garbage. It's shitty. Well, because dipshits want that.
Yes.
You know, people want to watch that, and that's what we get. So mm-hmm. we deserve. And it's the same thing here. You know, like, this is only the latest example of Apple being dicks.
Yep.
You know, there's the whole thing with the subscriptions and, you know, the – oh, gosh, I can't even think of all of them now. But how many have there been? You know, the antenna gate, oh, you're holding it wrong and
yeah.
all these other things. And yet we keep – and here, myself included, we keep buying the shit and we keep buying the shit and we keep buying the shit.
Yep.
And that's why Apple feels that they can do stuff like this, because we're assholes and we don't – you know,
but
treat
they
that
keep
the way deserve to be treated, which they say, fuck you, we're moving on to something else.
Yeah. Hey, eventually Steve Jobs will either step down or pass away, and then the products, just like last time in the 90s, the products will slowly start to suck.
Yeah.
And then we can all feel good about not buying them again. Yeah. And by then,
that's true.
By then, hopefully somebody else will come along. There will be somebody to replace Microsoft and Apple and Google and – you know, just they'll and Facebook for that matter, and they'll all be replaced by some new kid on the block who will then become the next big corporate douchebag. And by right. the way, I just want to make it clear, I would never let you touch my iPad. Ever.
Not even with like sanitary gloves?
No, I don't think it would be enough.
Apparently
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, apparently the TiVo app for the iPad is like outrageous.
Like in a good way?
A good way, yeah.
Supposedly the HBO Go app is also good, and but my friends who actually have cable TV can't use it because Time Warner doesn't have a deal yet to allow
right.
that. So, like, you could right. use it.
Time Warner, the one cable company that sucks ass harder than Comcast.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah,
they all kind of suck. You know, the only way that really works well with, you know, to have an ISP is – a tiny little company who is just in your area and nowhere else.
Yeah, a regional company. RCN was good when I had them in New Jersey.
Yeah, I've heard good things about them. They actually made our survey this year, so.
And they offer TiVo hardware as like their DVR.
Ah, see, that's
where you can get video on demand and all the full slate, you know, as opposed to this stuff where you buy it at retail and you can only get certain things and
yep.
so on and so forth. What's that, Stella?
Tell him,
Would you
Stella.
Like to add something? Would you like to add something? No, no, you don't press that. You're talking to it. Say something.
She got nothing. Okay, so hey, it's been fun once again to talk about all those meaningless facts out there in the world because they really can't be helped. Nothing we can do about all the things we bitch about. That's what's great. Railing against the machine. That's what we do.
So this is a totally pointless podcast.
Yeah, I think that was established back in episode one. Wow, have we
totally pointless, just like life.
Have we fomented change in any way of any kind for anybody anywhere? I don't think so.
Oh, didn't we inspire the Arab Spring?
I don't know.
I thought we did.
No, afraid not. That was not us. All right, but we'll have to move on. Till once again, sometime down the road, this has been Eric and Joe with Facts Are Meaningless.
Thanks for joining us.
Lucky you. What the fuck is a tub? You're right, I have no idea what that is.